الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. أياما معدودات. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. With regard to our talks in Ramadan, we started first with intention, that the first foremost thing a person has to do is make his intention an intention of life, that why am I here in this world? If we don't make our niyat for akhirat, for the pleasure of Allah, for His ibadat, to gain His ma'rifat, there won't be an empty vacuum that we just living. Automatically our niyat will become for dunya, to have a nice life in dunya, to have the nice things of dunya, and that's a totally wrong niyat. So it's very important that we make this niyat, refresh it every morning. Then we went on to explain the glory, try to explain the glory, greatness, magnificence of the Quran, what a kitab Allah Ta'ala has given us, and the rights of the Quran. We tried to explain 7 basic rights of the Quran Sharif. Then we went on that when the Quran was revealed in the month of Ramadan, that time became blessed. Ramadan became honorable. All the heavenly scriptures were revealed in this kitab. Where the Quran was revealed, Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif, we read ayah surahs, Makki surah, Madani surah. And today we see what the crowds are in Makkah Sharif and Medina Sharif. There isn't place for anyone. The tawaf, salatu salam, where the Quran was revealed, what blessings came to those places. And then we went on to try to explain that roza, fasting, ulama have written, is not on the, only the 3 basic farais, that is, not to eat, not to drink, not to satisfy one's sexual desires, from the time of sehri ends up to iftari time. That is the basics of roza. But that roza is made for us on every part of the body. That is the structure of the roza. If we only have a structure of a building, we are not prepared to stay in that building. We want it complete. We want the finishing done also. A businessman who buys for 5 rand and sells for 5 rand, he'll be out of business. Though he might be the busiest man for a few days, but he will be out of business. So when we make the profit in roza, then we'll enjoy keeping roza. Today roza, fasting, is like a burden, a strain, a pressure, tension upon us, because we are not making profit in roza. Just like December month is also a strain on the businessman. He has to work hard, he has to give extra time, he has to, how many times he has to replace stocks, he's so busy, but he never ever feels it as a strain or as tension, as heaviness, because he's making profit, he's making money. So roza also in the month of Ramadan, and Allah has given us du'as in this month, Allah Ta'ala has given us zikr in this month, what great treasures. But if we are doing those things, getting the benefit of it, then we will look forward to Ramzan. Eagerly, our countdown won't start in Rajab, but just like Allah from the beginning of the year starts beautifying Ramadan from the beginning of the year. Like if a wedding is coming in a family, some special occasion, from long before we start spring cleaning, painting the house, if special occasion is coming. So Allah every year decorates Jannat, beginning of the year, which means from Muharram, 9 months in advance, Allah is decorating Jannat for the coming of Ramzan, a very special occasion, a very special guest is coming. With regard to keeping the rozas of the various parts of the body, we discuss roza of the tongue, that we should learn to control the tongue, that's what we mean. And the solution of it, that in Ramadan, try and speak as little as possible. Meet as little as possible with people. Keep your tongue flavored with Quran Sharif. And really, Quran gives a flavor to the tongue. And the enjoyment we get to listen to Quran. And we should change the saying, it's music to the ears. It's hurting to the ears. Quran is it's Quran to the ears, the enjoyment we should get of Quran Sharif. Listening to Quran, reading of Quran Sharif should just give us pleasure. That even if you have got half a minute to spare, you are busy reading Quran Sharif. And just as we read about Surah Fatiha now, you have half a minute, you can read Surah Fatiha, 45 seconds or so. And what great treasures there are in Surah Fatiha. But because we are not, we are indifferent to our deen, we haven't got that association with our deen, how many of us will read Surah Fatiha? We'll read Surah Ikhlas. If we just got a half a minute to spare, we got a minute to spare. And who doesn't know Surah Fatiha? Who doesn't know Surah Ikhlas? But it's a treasure if we're not aware of the value of it. When our eyes will close, then we'll realize, but of course then it will be too late. Now is the time to make contact with our deen. And the means of contact with deen is through the ulama. And more than the ordinary ulama, ulama are the mashayikh, the ahlullah. Ulama are noor. And those who have got the love of Allah, and the love of deen, and love of akhirat, they are noorun ala noor. Who we call the awliya, who we call the ahlullah. If we make that contact, then these things will come into us. So the roza of the tongue, then roza of the eyes, not to see haram. To see and even just visualize Kaaba Sharif. And the tawaf that is taking place. Roza-i Mubarak. Whenever you read Salatu Salam, just think, I'm standing at Roza-i Mubarak. And here my Nabi, Ali Salatu Salam, is in front of me. What enjoyment. And that we don't look at any haram and any undesirable things. Roza of the ears. That what is haram to listen to talk is haram to listen to. Whether somebody is swearing, whether somebody is insulting somebody, we enjoy when people are fighting and we watch the fight. And so stupid we have become that we watch films in which they are fighting. And that is all just fantasy. But yet we enjoy looking at that film, how they are shooting and how they are dying. And how they are fighting with one another, how they plotting with one another, how people, good people, not one film is finished, put another film, till 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, and this is bringing destruction to people. One good friend of ours, make dua for his health also, he told me himself, he had a habit of looking at films at night, and his wife goes to bed, and he starts looking at films, one film finished, looks at another one. And then now he's aroused at all the filth and dirt he looked at. Now when he goes to bed, 12:30, 1 o'clock, now he wants his wife to satisfy him. She's in the middle of a sleep, bar umma, in the deep sleep, and now you want her to satisfy you. And there everything gets spoiled. In the morning she doesn't want to give him breakfast also. She's angry. He says, but since I came in your company, listen to your talks, I go and sleep after Isha. I get my satisfaction properly. My wife is also happy. We're having a wonderful life. TV is one of our worst enemies, destroying us. And how many of us, we are so addicted to it. So, roza of the ears also. Then roza of the heart and of the mind. That we discussed also. In there comes intention also. And in there the main thing that we discussed was wasawis, evil thoughts, or just way out thoughts that a person gets, which are not even guna. And usually in namaz, what thoughts come to a person? He's here, he's there, he's doing this, he's doing that, and so many thoughts. And the treatment of it, the greatest treatment our buzurgs have given. And remember that our islah is in the prescriptions and the treatment given by our buzurgs. A person says, who doesn't work for me, that person needs very serious treatment. A person who wants to bring some modern treatments, that person needs very serious treatment. What has come from Quran and Hadith and our akabir and our aslaf, that is the correct treatment. So one of the greatest treatments is that just ignore it. And don't make lot effort to ignore it. Just cut it aside. And the examples we gave, like a dog barking at you when you're walking. If you ignore the dog will go away. The other example we gave of Joha, who is an Egyptian comedian, that he ate a fruit tree in the front of his house. And children used to come and eat, and he wanted them to eat. But whenever they used to come and eat, he used to chase them away. So the people ask, when you want them to eat, they like to come eat the fruit, free fruit they get. Why do you chase them? He says their psychology and mentality is such, if I leave them, they won't come back. But when I chase them, they enjoy that. And then when I'm just back in the house, then again they'll tell one another, let's go again. Eh? So that is how thoughts are. They just come to a person, and if you chase them away, they'll come back again. So don't make an effort to chase, just ignore it, just bypass it, just sidetrack it, and then you'll see these thoughts will go away. The other great treatment our buzurgs have shown that make this muraqabah, that Ya Allah, my small little heart, and the whole world's thoughts, and thoughts from the time of Adam a.s. till Qiyamah are coming. What new invention? What things you invent in your namaz? Which scientists haven't even thought about still. And you are inventing all those things in your namaz. So that my small heart, so many thoughts. So shaitan will think that I put the fuel in there, wasawis, way out thoughts, wayward, and terrible thoughts. He is using it to get closer to Allah Ta'ala. Just like Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu must his tahajjud namaz on one occasion. The next day shaitan came and wake him up. Tahajjud time, he caught his hand, who are you waking me up? He says, I'm just waking you up, you like to get up for your... No, who is this? I didn't appoint anyone. He said, I'm shaitan. No, shaitan doesn't do this work, to wake up people for tahajjud. He said, no, my old habits come back sometimes again. I was always tahajjud guzar, those habits come back again. He said, no, tell me the truth. He said, yesterday when you missed your tahajjud, how much you cried to Allah Ta'ala. I thought you're making tahajjud is better for me. That you didn't come so close to Allah is when you cried to Him, what your tahajjud, you don't come so close as you came close when you cried that I missed my tahajjud. So I thought rather I wake you up is better. So the thoughts that shaitan bring, use them to fight shaitan. And that's the greatest strategy of war, that what your enemy is planning against you, use their plans against them. That is the greatest strategy also. And then of course the du'as also, Allahumma ij'al wasawisa qalbi khashyataka wa dhikrak. There is also that the fuel shaitan was giving you to go to the casino, to go to the prostitutes, that fuel you using to go to masjid, to go for umrah, to go in khanka, to go in jamaat, you using it in a good cause. So shaitan will say, no, this is a very bad business. That I'm losing out completely. I'm putting fuel in his tank that he must go to haram places. He is using my fuel to go to halal places. So his shaitan will keep away. And what great treasures you can get from wasawis. From wasawis, khashyatak, the khashyat of Allah Ta'ala, which is a great gift. And the zikrak, the zikr of Allah Ta'ala, what great. And the other we explained a bit in detail also, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. It is also a great treasure, but we don't use it. Our yaqeen is not on there. When I had my heart problem, Maulana A.S. Desai came and visit me, and then I asked him for some advice. He told, read 7 times Surah Fatiha, it's a cure for every illness. But he said, our problem is we haven't got yaqeen. We don't read it with yaqeen. Okay, so this is what we need, that yaqeen, that insight. 7 times Surah Fatiha, you can put it on a cassette also. You can put it on a CD also. But what yaqeen the CD got? Okay, next you put something else on that cassette. Whatever you retape on that. One Khan Saab Pathan, he was lying on a bed, on a charpai. This ordinary charpai, he was lying on a bed, flat. And he was singing, reading, whatever. He was in a world of his own. One person was going past, and then he saw, oh, Khan Saab is in a mood today. Very happy, magan hai, happy, he's enjoying himself. So after he finished his work, he passed again. Now Khan Saab was lying on his stomach, upside down. But still he was singing, happy. And then he asked, Khan Saab, what is this? When I went, you were lying on your back. And now you're lying on your stomach and you're still so happy. You say, my cassette got finished. Side A got finished. I turned it around. I put side B. So anyway, on your cassette, if you got Qawwali on there, you got music on there, you can just change it over and put Zikr of Allah. Put Quran Sharif. Put Bayans. So that's what Shaitan is putting on. You just retape over there. And put on there the Zikr of Allah. So he is putting the fuel to take you to Jahannam. You have to use it in order to go to Jannah. He is putting the fuel that Allah must be displeased with you. You put the fuel that Allah is pleased with you. And then we spoke yesterday about the food, the roza of the stomach. That we make sure that no haram, that's out of the question. No doubtful food also must go. We discussed that a bit in detail. A few more things with regard to that. This one terrible habit in our, as I explained also, our lifestyle and our culture is changing also. Today, from flat toilet pans, we are all using high pans. Our babies, we are potty training them on the high pan. The children today cannot use the flat pan. Whereas, scientifically, it has been proven that the flat pan is healthy. That crouching system you set, your squatting form that you sit on, it presses your colon to take out all the dirt from there, which does not happen when you sit on a high pan. And the splashes that can come from the high pan. Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, his son told me that when he used to go to Makkah, Medina Sharif, after every time he uses the toilet, he should bath again. He says, I don't trust the splashes that shoot up. When there was a ijtima in England, there was the first ijtima, where was it? Sheffield ijtima. The authorities were not allowing to use flat pans for the temporary toilets. So our Haji Bhai Padia Marhum, Rahmatullah Ali, he also went to attend, and he had a certain art which few people have got. So he went and they told, the authorities are not allowing, he said, give me an appointment. Let me go and speak. In the course of the discussion, he told them in the high pan, what system happens? He spoke very, very informally and a very down to earth system of language. He was not worried of his grammar, not worried of how he spoke, but he got the message thoroughly into the hearts of millions of people in the world. He told them that in this high pan, it is a system of one for me, one for you. That one falls down and from there it splashes up. One for me, one for me, one for you. Immediately they understood, those authorities, what were all other scientific and all other letters which they gave them, they didn't understand. They immediately understood, they said, yeah, right, this is a more better system. And they allowed the flat system. Similarly, this ordinary talking informal was our Haji Bhai Musa Budhania of Rudipur. He had a good system of working with the old government when there was a way that you only had to flatter them to get your work done. Legally, they were against the non-whites. It was a white government. And the way he used to speak to them, personally, there were few occasions I was with him. And in his talk, Inshallah, Mashallah, he's talking Afrikaans, he's talking English and Inshallah and Mashallah, but all his work he gets done. How many people's work he did with immigration papers and all different type of things, permits, but in this way he had a simple way. So anyway, so our culture has changed today, that the flat toilets we cannot use anymore. And Muslims of South Africa pride themselves as super Muslims, very good Muslims. That we petition the airport, the airport, this ultra cities on the roads, etc. We petition them that we are Muslims, we need flat toilets. And they accede to our request. Almost everywhere, many places at the airport, there are flat toilets. Many ultra cities, almost all have got at least one flat toilet. And so we use it also, alhamdulillah, those who use it. But at home, we put high toilet. If these people have to come and see that your letter, you are Muslims, you need flat toilet. But in your home, you put high toilet. Then what ice are we cutting? So we just making a form. Maulana Harun Abbas Umar, the Ahmed Barakatu, my good friend of Isipingo Beach, he says that he went with a Jamaat in a holiday. And they were in one of the masjids in Durban area. And what youngsters, school going children. And all the flat toilets were empty. When they got up for ta'aneem, they had to make ta'aneem, all go, have to go toilet, make wudu. Not one student, youngster, was using the flat toilet. All waiting for that one or two high toilets. They waiting for that. Our whole culture is changing. And I usually say that by following the white man's high toilet, your bottom is not going to become white. Yeah, it will remain the same color. Don't think that you're going to become a white man or that it's going to become white or something. And our language has changed. Today, here in the masjid, I'm sitting, we are forced to talk English. Our culture is changing. Our language has changed already. And our language has changed, it's changing our culture. That is why we used to the high toilet. That is why our language has changed, our culture has changed, and it's changing rapidly. Future only, Allah knows what kind of new culture there will be. Today on our dastarkhan, mostly you won't find water. Yes, you'll find colored water. Eh? And nobody likes coloreds. Coloreds came from the white and the black. Eh? All the in-between they are. Eh? So you'll only find colored water on the dastarkhan. All the Coca-Cola and the Pepsi-Cola and the Sprite and all Fanta, whatever else you'll find. But water, nobody can drink water. It's gone out. Zamzam is out of the question. We don't like the taste of Zamzam. Olive oil is so healthy and so good. The olives are so good, but we haven't got a taste for it. Salads on the dastarkhan, they will be the first on the dastarkhan, but nobody even touches it. Just as a formality, little bit, whereas that is the best thing to eat. But salads, we have got no taste for it. Yes, if we got taste for the spicy things, and spicy things are so unhealthy. If we got taste for the deep fries, the samosas, the bhajiyas, for all the wrong things we got taste, and for all the right things we got no taste anymore. So it's very necessary we become concerned about this. Anyone, it mustn't happen. And also, this is a reality already. There was a time when in the history of Islam, when Muslims would hate kufr, and they wouldn't hate the kafir. That means the ways of kufr, they will hate them. Their dressing, their lifestyle, their language. Bhai Abdul Wahab Sahab, Damat Barakatum of Raiwin, the first time they came to South Africa with the whole kafla, Hazraji and all, they went first for Umrah. And Bhai Abdul Wahab himself said that I held the ghilaf of Kaaba and I made dua to Allah. Ya Allah, I'm going to a country where they say you can only make tabligh in English. And he's a BA graduate, Bhai Abdul Wahab. He's not just an ordinary person. He's a BA graduate. And he made dua, Ya Allah, I'm going there, I won't speak one word of English there. I will do my tabligh without speaking one word of English. But today our language has changed. Everything has changed. What was I on? That was a time when we hated kufr, their ways, their language we hated. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali should say, what's this ikbit you making here? Talking all this English like that. Talk our language. What you talking this other language? So language has changed. And we like their language. And very sadly, there is a different subject. I don't want to go deep into it, but just a little bit. Today, generally in the world, it has been created in the minds of people. If you know English, you're an educated person. English is just one language. It's looked down by the French people. It's looked down by the people of Europe. They hate English. The French hated English so much that they did everything opposite. You will see the French cars, the English cars, in order to close, now it's different, modern cars, new cars. But previously when we had that knob to lock the door, you press it down to lock it. French car, you pull it up. Everything they did opposite of the English. They didn't like the English at all. They did it opposite. But today, they themselves, among themselves, they don't like the English. But their language today, we made it a big thing. Their culture, their clothing today. Look at the clothing. The clothing of the kuffar is in us when we're making namaz. We make namaz with suit and tie also. Or even casual dressing. We wear all their dressing. Whereas we got our own specific Islamic dressing, but we don't wear our own dressing. We are shy to show ourselves as Muslim. Our greeting, instead of Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, what a beautiful greeting. But today, hi, and hello, etc. How are you? Alhamdulillah. What a beautiful, well, your pan of scale has gone full already. But we are fine. We are okay. Eh? All these things have taken its place. Now, everything we have started, and we on that road of liking all the things of kufr, and we are hating the kafir. The previous Muslims, they didn't hate the kafir. They tried and bring him closer, give him the awat of Islam, bring him amongst us. But they hated the kufr of his. They didn't hate the sinner, they hated the sin. But today we hate the sins. We love the sins and we hate the sinners. We got the worst hatred today for the Jews. We got the worst hatred today for the Hindus, for all other people. But their ways, their sari we are wearing. Just imagine Pakistan, own country, and though it is haram, but I'm just explaining a point, they got their own music, but they go mad for Indian music. They go mad for Indian movies. Pakistanis go mad for Indian movies. They go mad for Indian music, for their way of dressing, the sari, etc. So we love the things of kufr, and the kafir we are hating. Whereas the right thing was that we should not love the kafir for being a kafir, but that we can wean him over. And we should hate the kufr. So there is a very important thing that we should understand. Our education. Today, Islamic education, who loves Islamic education? By and large, they are, alhamdulillah, yeah, in our gathering, there are many who make their children alim, hafiz. But look at the whole Muslim population. Everywhere, university education. And people are proud. Alhamdulillah, my daughter is a doctor. And in the process of becoming a doctor, I hope she didn't lose her iman in the process. Today, Darwin's theory of evolution, the Big Bang theory, all these kufr things are being taught to children at schools. And our education, we don't pay attention. There are many people sitting here, mashallah, who cherish Islamic education. Our children, our whole family's education. We build madrasas and we see to the family education. We give it according to deen. Mashallah, that is also there. But on the larger scale, this thing is gone out of us. And in fact, it's so sad. Karachi is one city. And the same way today the world, whether it's Bombay, whether it's anywhere, every second house is an English medium school. Is a school for this, is a school for that, is a school for that. Whereas at one time, every house was a madrasa. Every house was a Darul Uloom. Now every second house, you just see a big written there. The advertising, English medium school. This school, that school. The whole thing is, the whole emphasis has gone. A completely topsy-turvy world we are living in. So at such a time, it is very important to bring back Islamic values. And at least if we can just talk, we are still, alhamdulillah, we can still talk about it and there are still people prepared to listen to it. Otherwise, people are not even prepared to listen. Here in this gathering, all are listening. But on each day, when the families get together, try and give the talks, nobody is prepared to accept it. You haven't got the courage even to give the talk. Nobody, you haven't got the courage, people are not prepared to listen. And if you try, they'll just put you down. And they'll make it known that without matrik is your Allah, is your Khuda. Without matrik, you can't get rosy. You will believe Allah gives rosy. But they will dominate that whole gathering that your matrik certificate gives the gives rosy. And you'll also have to just keep quiet, though you might not agree, but you'll have to accept it. Today, the Western the university education, that is, you haven't got money, you'll make the means of it. But for Islamic education, and also remember Allah's system, as we explained this morning, that this is a, the Khanqah is a hospital, spiritual hospital. And the other hospitals are for your body. And Allah's system is always what is most important. Allah makes it free of charge. Every Nabi that came, La as'alukum alayhi ajra. In ajriya illa alallah. I don't take any wages from you. So the Khanqah also, you will see that no fees you have to pay. For correction, it to remove your migraine. Today there are special hospitals, only for headache hospitals. Because it's such a major problem. And one easy solution again is putting oil in the head, which we don't do also. Our culture has changed there also. Because they don't put oil in the head, we also feel it's a wrong thing to put oil. And we haven't got time to put oil. That is physically. But spiritually, that we have zikr of Allah Ta'ala. We have Quran Sharif, we have Durood Sharif, we have the food for the brain, food for the heart. The zikr ka naga, ruh ka faqa. If we are not making zikr, the whole ruh is starved. And when we don't make the zikr, remembrance of Allah, we are starving the whole body. So we have to, so this treatment here, Allah Ta'ala has made it free of charge. No charging whatsoever. And this is not the favor of any of the mashayikh. And in fact, in the khanqa, in the darul ulooms, in the tablighi marakis, in tablighi jamaat you go, you are fed free of charge. All the darul ulooms, we still charge fees in our darul ulooms. But the darul ulooms of India, Pakistan, no fees are charged. And 3 times meals are given, clothes are given to the students, blankets are given to them, everything is given. Go Tablighi Markaz, Nizamuddin, Raiwin, thousands of people are eating there, free of charge, nobody is being charged. So this is Allah made it like that, free of charge the service is available. And that's a sign that this is the truth. For falsehood, big charges are made. Any small thing. One person put an advert in a newspaper that if you want to become rich overnight, then just send a stamped envelope and with 20 rand in those days, which was 20 rand was the biggest denomination. Like in our time, a stamped envelope with 200 rand. And then all he sent back was like, work harder. You want to become rich, work harder. That was the solution. So anyway, so they charge just for work harder 200 rand. And who doesn't know you must work hard? But how they make us stupid? For all this, you have financial advisors who come and advise you on your finances, how to build your finance. If they really knew, they would be the richest people and they won't need to go door to door to go and give other people service. But it's a whole big bluff. The real is the Islamic system. Madaris free. Ulama teach free of charge. What salary they getting, it's not a salary, it's just their expenses. And how much they get, they're always living below the bread line. It's a service that is being given. It's not a salary that they are taking. If they have to take a charge of salary for the alif of Allah, the whole world cannot pay that price. That only Allah will pay. Yeah, they are giving a free service. So, one time, a circus had come to town, and in the circus they brought an elephant in the arena, and they said whoever can make the elephant cry will win a prize, 1,000 rand, 2,000. People went and say very sad stories in the ear of the elephant, that my whole family died, there was a fire, this happened, that big sad stories. But the elephant, big animal, big heart, it didn't cry. One poor munshi sahab, not even a molly sahab, a person whose degree is below the Maulvi also, a munshi, he went and he just whispered 2 words in the elephant's ears. And the elephant started crying crocodile tears. Or was surprised. They say, what did you say? How did you manage this? He said, don't worry, bring my prize. I won the prize, I made the elephant cry, give my money. He said, we'll give you money, but tell us. He said, I just told him what my wages are. The elephant also, how can this man come out with this money? The poor man, so the poor Maulvis, what the money you give them, how can they come out with that money? But Allah gives barakah. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Pananpuri Rahmatullah Ali used to say that the West, the non-Muslims, they don't know what is barakah, then the word barakah is not in their dictionary. And barakah is not kathrat, it's not having lot, but in that little Allah makes all your work. All your work gets done, that is called barakat. And you'll see the ulama generally, almost all, they have been for hajj. Not one hajj, many. Not one umrah, many umrah. And they barakat in their money. And the wealthy people, all the money they got, they can't go for umrah. They haven't got the time. Whatever it is, But they are not going, they're not going, faraz, hajj, they are not going, they can't manage it, they can't go, they can't go in jamaat, they can't go, come in khanka, no time, no barkat in their money, no barkat in their time, no barkat in their health. And if you have barkat, you can have little, but unlike all your expenses come out. The world cannot understand how you come out. Anyway, we were talking about, yesterday's talk was on the food that we eat. It must be halalan and tayyiban also. The other aspect on which we started this whole talk, that our culture is changing. Today, eating out is part of our culture. A person budgets for its month, and for eating out, he puts budget. So much money for eating out, whether it's once a week, whether it's once a month, according to his financial position, and how much is far from deen, so much he goes more towards eating out, to go and eat at the restaurant. This is also a very sad state of affairs. And this is not our Islamic way. I usually say, if you want to eat out, no problem. Eat in your garden, eat outside. You will sit on your stoop, let the wife prepare a good meal, and you sit on the stoop and eat out. Eat out, eat there. There you are not eating out, you are still eating in the restaurant. If you really want to eat out, which is nice, a picnic sometimes, with the family, you go in the natural environment, it's a nice thing, within the limits of Shariat and within limits of everything. Not that we just now make that our lifestyle also. So this eating out is a terrible thing. A few incidents I would like to mention so that we can understand, and hopefully it can help somebody that we stop going to eat out. And very sadly, good people, people whose financial position is not that good also, but eating out is a must. And how much of money is spent on that eating out? So yeah, in the UK, very many years ago in one town, there was a restaurant owned by a certain nationality person, Muslim people, and the kawabs they used to make, meatballs, kawabs, was famous. People should come from distant places there to come and eat. And then when the refuse people, the people who pick up the dirt, the refuse, when the trucks they come, when they came there Monday morning to pick up refuse, they found so many tins of this dog, animal food. The pets delight food, dog food, animal food, what they give to the animal they give. They say there can't be so many dogs on this premises. One premise, one plot, one earth. There can't be so many dogs here, but anyway they took it. Next week again so many, even more tons of that. So they reported the case to the health department. They went and investigate that kawabs they were making were that meat that was being given, what is given to the dogs. Not the proper meat which is for human consumption, but that meat which is meant for dogs, the third grade meat, that bad meat what is given to dogs, that meat they were making those kawabs, just colored nicely and flavored, and people used to go from this, and good people used to go. It wasn't very long ago, few years ago, we were returning from Umrah, and in the plane, Saudi Airlines, they gave us Arab News or Arab Gazette, one of the newspapers, and on the front page, people were caught in Jeddah, that they were selling to the hotels and restaurants meat that was gone rotten. And those people just treat it again, they got a special way of treating it, and they were treating it with that, make it nice, all the garnish it, with all the things and that is what they're serving in the hotels. In one country, outside South Africa, in Africa. In the newspaper, this article had come that a very famous restaurant in Sandton, in Johannesburg, Sandton, a very famous restaurant patronized mainly by white people. They said the authorities suspected something is not going right here. They put CCTVs in the area where the food is prepared. There they saw on the CCTV that the burgers that the people are eating, these people who are making them, black people working there, after they had put whatever they have to put on there, they take out their gill, from inside, and they spit on there. And they spread it out, and they close it, and pack it nicely, and there the people are eating it. When they caught them on CCTV doing this, and all of them were doing this, when they questioned them, they told that because the white man, what he did to us in the days of apartheid, we are taking out our revenge like this. So we go and eat this. Who will be prepared? Prepared. Even if your wife does that, who will you eat? You won't eat. And one place, they said they were, the woman went on strike. On Saturday night, we're not cooking. Kitchen is locked. The man must go and buy pizzas from the hut, pizza hut house. Wherever it is, from wherever, one of the outlets. So they were sitting the whole now, all eating together. And another effect of this is a natural effect. The upardaya is observed. Then the effect of that food, man, woman, all sit together. If you have it Islamic type of food, the effect of it is you'll become conscious of parda also. So anyway, all were sitting, the family, big people, small people, man, woman. And then one little child sitting next to her mother, she said, "Mummy, they look at this hay in here, a whole, what, ducha, a whole, whole big clot of hay. The mummy quickly just made it, hushed it up, that nobody will eat after this. She put it one side. After another while, she found even more. Then everyone realized and nobody could eat. All this food that is prepared, commercially prepared food, all this, what you call this in the butchers, prepaid, processed food. In Australia was the first country to pick this up. Europe they hadn't picked it up. This is a few years ago, perhaps now it's in the world, I don't know. That all, the whole video was prepared on this. And not Muslims, the non-Muslim, the government of Australia picked this up. The health authorities there. That this meat, processed meat, is made out of all the filth and dirt that is left over. And they use meat glue to glue all the pieces together. Small piece here, small piece there. And they glue it together. And then just in that nice cellophane paper or whatever, what you call it. Now they prepare it and with that nice tag on it, everything. And advertise. And everyone is eating it. In England, the people were caught. Or it was a big issue. They were using in order to blow up the chicken. And it's a commercial thing. They want money. Their object is only money. Where they worried about your health or anything? If I come on that, Maulana Ismail Khan was a supervisor in the early bird chickens in Standerton. And he told me himself, he says that after the chickens are cut, the pieces are made. Then they inject it with brine. Brine is a type of water which is adulterated, same things are put. And the effect of it is it blows it up. And we all want white meat. You see, I see when we sit to eat, how the people just go for the big white pieces of meat. And that is, it's not the chicken meat. It is that brine that has blown it up. And it makes its weight also more. So when you pay more for it, you're paying for water, not for chicken. You are paying for water. And you are eating not chicken, you are eating that brine water. Now to preserve that brine. So anyway, Maulana Ismail asked them that why do you people inject it with this brine? And when you know this causes diabetes in a person and it causes blood pressure. They say we got nothing to do with health problems. Our money is commercial money. We want to make money. We blow it up, make it more heavier. And so we get more money. That is our business. In England they found that that brine they were using in it some other animals products. Some other animal products they were using in that brine. And they were selling the chicken as chicken. So there was a court case and it was found it's illegal to sell it as a chicken. It's not a chicken. The other animals in which was cow and pig. Those things they were using in that brine. In America, Kentucky Fried Chickens cannot advertise anymore. There was a court case. And they cannot sell Kentucky Fried Chickens. Now it's only Kentucky Fries. In other countries it's still KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken. But in America they can't advertise it by law. Only Kentucky Fries, because the chicken that is grown without its feathers properly, without its legs properly, according to the definition, it's not classified as a chicken also. It's not regarded as a chicken also. So all these things, we must become conscious of these things. Here in Mayfair, which is a food town, today everyone, good people. One family member had a filling station. And he said, people say India is dirty. He said, come and see Mayfair. And see the dirt and filth there. And people buy food Actually, what he reported at his filling station, people want to fill up petrol, but these people who go there, there is an attitude also they have got. They build up an attitude. So a young man, when he's 4x4 or something, he feels that there's nobody like me. His gun is on his side and he's in a 4x4. Perhaps he's got his girlfriend and now he has to show the world that he's, he has to show his girlfriend and everyone, I'm Mr. Somebody. So he comes and he parks in the wrong place. And he went up to him, my cousin, and he told him nicely that people have to fill petrol, you can't park here. He pulled out his gun, who are you to tell me? This is that nature that is being built with this. And he says, you see there, forget the dustbins are full, the whole place is littered with food. This eating out, the package of food, they say for two, but it's really enough for six people. But no, six people don't share it. Only two, they just pick little. Now we ate out, finished. It's not to fill the stomach also. Just that we ate out and the rest of it is just dumped. All the salads they give together is just dumped. All the food, wastage. And how many of millions of people in our country are going hungry? In the world they are going hungry. And we are wasting like this. Is Allah not seeing all this? And then still that arrogant attitude that we are building up, that we are somebody, these things we are just destroying ourselves. So we should be very careful about this eating out, where we go and eat. There was this is again, not from our source, Radio 702, maybe 15 years ago, or some 10 years ago, they interviewed the people who serve, waiters. They had an interview with the waiters. They told them that sometimes it must be happening that customers come and they treat you like in a bed, like in a bossy. Some people have got this best bossy attitude. Even in the house, the husband also say, in my house there is military rule. The wife puts her hands on her hips and you do this, you listen to me. What I say you do. All this military rule, like some people and other people. And then where you don't realize you got this. But whoever you talk, you got this bossy attitude of yours. Not only in the house where a husband tolerates you, a wife tolerates the husband. But then this bossy attitude goes outside also. And you think you're the boss of everyone. And especially when a person goes and eat in this restaurants, etc. And you go with your girlfriend, which is haram of course. And the haram relationship breeds also haram. So all this attitude will be even worse. So you get this kind of customers also. What do you people do? They say we treat them in this way that if a person comes and he's like him ordering, bring this, where's this? You didn't bring this, like because he's paying. Now he thinks he's owning the place and he's the Allah of the place and he can do as he wants to. We take his food, we prepare it in the kitchen. Then we go to the toilet. This was on 702 radio station. And we take water from the toilet pan and sprinkle it on there. And then we go and give it to him to eat. And now when he's enjoying with his girlfriend, we have a hearty love, a laugh that this person here that he's thinking is enjoying. And don't just laugh, we are eating these things. And we are eating worse than this. At one time at the airport, in the old system, now it's all computerized, electronic everything. But in the old system, one person, he was having this bossy attitude with that girl that was checking him in also. But she handled the case very cool and calm. She didn't get angry, she didn't get upset or anything. She did his work, everything. The next customer that came, the next passenger. It was an old lady and she complimented that young girl. How that man was carrying on, but how you handled it. You are well trained and you handled it. So she said, no, I also did my share. I took care. What did you do? He was going to Australia and I sent his goods to Tel Aviv. All his baggage, I sent it to Tel Aviv. Then he will remember that how he treated me and now he'll wait for his goods there. So when we carry on like this, then this is the result that we get. We think we are doing something, but we are everything boomerangs. Kama tadino tadano. As you do, so you get in return. Jaise karni, waise bharni. How you do, you get in return like that. Na mane, to karke de. Jannat bhi hai, jahannam bhi hai. Na mane, to marke de. These are realities. So this eating out is not our tariqah. our tariqa and one solution for our chicken, which in my opinion is a very practical solution. People saying, what must we do? We're not going to get farm chicken. Everyone can't get, we can't get free range chickens also. It's not so free. Though there is those who want to. Then mashallah, there is a butcher in Malaysia, halal and tayyiba. I'm not advertising for them, but if you want, there are people in Joburg, if you want the farm chicken, what they call the Zulu chicken, the actual farm. And also, I'll just digress a little bit. All animals that graze on their own, wildly, they know more better than any doctor which herbs to eat, what to eat. For example, the goat. Today, our woman folk also say, they prefer sheep, everyone. We don't like the smell of the goat. And we don't like the goat meat. But the goat eats those herbs and those roots and those things, grass, which is the remedy for TB and cancer. And the goat industry is so small an industry that the Jewish lobby hasn't interfered with it. With the sheep industry, they have interfered completely. With the cattle industry, they have interfered. Even the fish which are grown in dams, they have interfered with them. Fresh fish from the rivers, from the sea, that no problem. That is still natural. But what is grown and what is for commercial purpose, that is, they have interfered with it. China is already on the verge, if they haven't already, of making their own egg, not a chicken egg. What will that egg have in it? Nothing. Egg which is made in a laboratory. What value will that egg have? The egg which is of, even the eggs of today, those hens are kept awake 24 hours. And they are given such feed that they must just lay eggs one way. Just lay eggs one way. A woman who gives birth to babies one way. What will be left of that? What will be those babies? That's why Sharia has made it that at least give her 2 years recuperating period again. Don't just have baby after baby. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah used to say, your halal wife, don't make her also halal all the time. Where did I go? So the chicken also what they eat, naturally what they eat, if they are not in a dirty environment, what they eat on their own, if it is staying in where you put them in a pigsty, of course they're going to live for life. They're going to survive. It's a survival. They're going to eat filth and dirt there. But just naturally, they eat those things which are good for you. Therefore, fuqaha have written, those chicken that eat dirt, they must be put in a cage for 3 days. Given clean food to eat, then you slaughter those chicken. But the other chicken that eat clean, they eat the right things which are good for our health. So anyway, if we say we can't get those chicken, we can't get free range chicken, which is the second choice, then the broilers that are common, and anyone can buy broilers. Live broilers, anyone. Take the little trouble of having a cage at home. Keep that broiler for 3 days in there. Now, so what the fuqaha have written from there, we understand, a human being, according to hadith, food effects remain in the body for 40 days. For the chicken, 3 days it goes out. So you put your own food, your own good food, and 3 days now it has become ready for consumption. And as I mentioned yesterday, Dr. Ismail of Mpangeni, because of a health condition, he does this. And he finds that 3 days he keeps them, and it's quite fine after that. He doesn't suffer that health condition. So keep them. And instead of going to eat out, going to the restaurant to eat once a week, once a month, that 1 week, make it a week that we're going to be slaughtering chicken. We're going to be slaughtering mutton, goat. And get used to these things. There is a very, very important thing. This is our culture. This is our way that we must be able to slaughter. Qurbani time is Qurbani time. But even like that, slaughter your own chicken. And for a start, if our woman, they are also one middle gap generation, haven't taught their daughters how to slaughter chicken, how to clean. Today, to make pieces of the chicken is a job, major job for the, they want ready also, and they want it ready spiced also. All they want to do is just put it in the pot. That is all. No, you must be able to slaughter the chicken, maybe dissect it, cut it up, everything. That must be, our girls must be able to be prepared to be prepared also. They must know how to do it, and they must do this. So if for a start, you learn and then you do it, teach them. And if they just don't want to do, every house has got so many workers, maids, workers in the house, helpers, two, three, let them do it. They will do it. They still know. They know how to do it. Do it. And to skin a chicken, one is to pull out the feathers, that is a job. A little bit of a job. But just to skin the chicken is no job whatsoever. And you just cut the stomach and take out the inside. No real. And you'll learn to enjoy it. And this is the big thing. Qurbani time also, our many bayans, that slaughter yourself, get involved yourself in the during the year also, and really the itminan you will get that you are eating the right food. Eh? That you will get. And alhamdulillah, still in our country, I say Abdul Rahim is sitting there, and in their country laws are very strict. In European countries, laws are very strict. We haven't got those laws still. We got no problem. And also Allah's system, when you don't use a facility, Allah takes it away. Then the government will make laws, strict laws. We'll say the government is strict. It's not the government. We weren't using that facility. Allah's system in the animal and insect kingdom. Those animals, insects who didn't use their natural capacity which Allah gave them, the later generations were born without that facility. So Allah takes it away, a facility, when it's not used. So may Allah give us tawfiq, and we make instead of going to the restaurants and hotels to eat, and rather we slaughter our own, get the family together, and everyone, those, agar tu hi na chahe, to baate hazar hai. If you don't want to, you'll have 101 excuses. But if you want to do it, you can in this day and age get this here, and you can enjoy natural food. And you yourself, once your taste buds will get adjusted again, you'll see how delicious natural food is. Today, all the superficial, what is this all man-made generator? What food? Genetic. And the other which is natural? Organic. Today, genetic, we just love it. The fruit without seeds in it. So sweet, but that is all genetic. The organic, even if it's not so sweet, that is what is going to give you your benefit. May Allah let us understand what a deen Allah has given us, and you can only enjoy the pudding when you eat it. If you don't eat the pudding, how can you enjoy? This deen is the greatest pudding. You can enjoy it when you'll enjoy the pudding, not when you're enjoying something else which is not pudding. You'll enjoy it when you have the pudding. Enjoy our deen, inshallah.